7. Raj Taylor and Tim Abramowski taking you home this afternoon. Tim working both ends of the day. He takes you to work. He brings you home.
That's just the kind of guy I am.
If there's a traffic problem in the morning, who tells you about it but Tim? And this afternoon, if there's anything wrong on the roads, who will tell you about it? Tim.
All quiet from law enforcement MDOT and our traffic tipsters, so things must be moving rather nicely out there.
But if you see something people should know about, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, and let Tim know, and then he'll let the rest of us know.
We'll pass the word.
Hey, Tim, we're going to give away some movie tickets.
We are.
Later in this hour.
Oh, okay.
And you'll be your task, should you choose to accept it.
Do I have a choice?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll accept it.
You'll just have to explain to all the listeners why they don't have a chance to win those free tickets because you refuse to come up with a trivia question.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It'll be Tim's impossible to answer trivia question. I'm thinking music. I'll even throw out a topic for you.
Okay.
You and I talk music a lot, and so I'm thinking a music trivia question would be in order to win yourself a couple of tickets to go to Celebration Cinema.
Okay.
And I can't tell you what movie we're giving tickets away for, or I'd tease you folks. But in one of our breaks, I'll run get the tickets. And before we start giving them away, I will tell you what you might win.
Okay.
You know, many people have retired early, either by choice or by chance. Many people, it seems, after they retired, are thinking, do I have enough money to live out my retirement? And 73% of Americans say they are confident that they'll retire as planned, yet only 48% of actual retirees retired when they expected to retire. There's an interesting dichotomy. 73% of Americans say they're confident they will retire as planned, and yet only 48% of actual retirees retired when they were expecting to retire. Genworth, a company that tracks this kind of information, says that 52% of pre-retirees expect their living expenses to decrease in retirement. But actually, 65% of retirees saw their costs rise in retirement. Genworth says that healthcare costs are the main culprit for that, and along with real estate and money spent on dependents. Only 12% of retirees that were interviewed during this study say they have enough money to meet those higher living expenses. And if you're considering retiring, are you going to retire on the schedule that you had planned? And if you are retired, Are you worried you're not going to have enough money to live through all of your retirement? Yes. that was an on-air question to Tim. I was answering his question. And so, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Are you going to retire when you expected to retire? Or are you one of those people who say that's the plan and then aren't going to make it? Only 48% actually retire when they said they were planning on retiring. Let's talk about that. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. What does retirement look like for you? Are you going to continue working? That's I'm doing it only because I enjoy having a warm place to sleep at night. Because I think it's important to have something to do. I had a wise uncle who lived to be 90 in a family with no history of getting to be that old, and claimed his longevity was based on having a part-time job. That it was, no matter how he felt on any particular morning, he had to get his butt out of bed, do all the morning ritual and be someplace because there was somebody depending on him being there. And he claims that kept him going. 382-4280 if you want to talk about that. But first, we're going to talk with Zach Bauer. Zach, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm just fine. I thought we would talk about your reaction to Hawaii joining the list that acknowledges non-traditional marriage. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, Hawaii is got their head in the right place, along with you know, like you said, a growing number of states that believe that all families should be protected and should have the same rights as everybody else. This issue is about how we make sure that people have access to the same protections, which equate to about 1,200 federal benefits for being married couples. And so that's what this means. This is about supporting families, young people, young children in those families, and this is a great day for us.
Zach, do you know off the top of your head how many states have changed the marriage laws?
You know, off the top of my head, I'm sorry, I don't. But this is what that's a great question because it illustrates what's wrong with the system. You know, we have a patchwork system of states that either support marriage equality or some variation on that. And what we really just need is we need a nationwide equality decision that marriage equality is what's best for our citizens and best for our families here. And, you know, I think your question and my inability to answer it illustrates the point perfectly, and that is that this system isn't working. And we need to come together as a country and realize that the LGBT community is raising young people and children, and we need to provide the same protections for those families as elsewhere.
Oh, absolutely. Do you know what's happening in Michigan, if there is any movement to change our laws here?
Well, you know, in Michigan, we're in a unique situation. Michigan's what they affectionately term as DOMA, or the Defense of Marriage Amendment to the Constitution, is one of the strongest in the country. And so we have a constitutional amendment that prevents us from recognizing long-term loving relationships. And so there is no formal action right now to change that. We're focusing on amending Elliot Larson and ensuring that people have protections in the workplace. But we have some work to do when it comes to marriage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're falling behind the rest of the country. We see the state-by-state movement, and Michigan not a part of that.
I think you're completely right. Yeah, I mean, the governor often speaks about keeping the best and the brightest. And those include LGBT people.
Absolutely.
And, right. Yeah.
And we are tying one hand behind our back when it comes to attracting the best and brightest employees. If they happen to be gay and in a committed relationship, living in Michigan is not at the top of that list. The Kalamazoo Gay and Lesbian Resource Center. Tell us a little about that organization and what it is your purpose is.
Yes, thank you. Well, you know, we're an organization that for the past 26 years has had the mission to celebrate the diversity of sexual orientation and gender identity in Southwest Michigan. And, you know, we have a particular focus of providing a safe and supporting place for young people as they navigate, you know, what are difficult times for young people in high schools with issues of bullying. And, our civic engagement program led by Meg Bauer has been instrumental in passing local ordinances in Oshtemo and Kalamazoo Township. And so, we're a busy group down there. We put on Kalamazoo Pride, which tracks about 10,000 people to downtown Kalamazoo. And so, you know, we're a busy group down there. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if people would like to learn more or contact the Resource Center, how would they do that?
Well, we'd love to have them stop by at 69 Pioneer or visit our website, kglrc.org, or give us a call at 269-349-4234.
Give people an idea where Pioneer Street is.
Well, you know, it's actually the best location, the best place to give directions to, because if you're on West Edge and you want to get an ice cream cone at Dairy Queen, you just got to turn right before it. So
there you go. Yeah. And sadly, that way of giving directions would work perfectly well for me. I know exactly where that Dairy Queen is.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, thanks, Zach. I appreciate your taking time to talk with us this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. See ya. Yes, Zach Bauer, he is the director of the Kalamazoo Gay and Lesbian Resource Center, and they do a lot of good work in trying to level the playing field for all sexes or sexual preferences in the Kalamazoo area. .420, 37 degrees on the outside, and a news update from the WKZO.com newsroom. .424, Tim Abramowski assures me that he has a trivia question at the ready.
I do.
And the movie premieres tomorrow. the Best Man Holiday, and you can see it with a friend for free, because we're going to give you not one, but two tickets to see the Best Man Holiday.
Okay.
And the trivia question is?
Well, since we're talking movies, and we always like music, I combined the two.
Okay.
So on this date, November 13th, going all the way back to 1968, what Beatles movie made its U.S. premiere?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you know what movie Tim's referring to, back in 1968, 382-4280, worldwide, 1-877-382-4280. And you get yourself a pair of tickets to the Best Man Holiday. And first up with a guess is Jerry. Jerry, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And do you have a guess for us?
Yes, I'm guessing Help.
Okay, we'll find out from Tim.
That's a good guess, but no.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
382-4280-877-382-4280. If you think you know what movie Tim Abramowski is referring to, next up is Teresa. Hi, Teresa. How you doing?
I'm great.
You got a guess?
Is it Sergeant Pepper?
Oops, there
another
we go.
Another good guess, but no.
Ooh, boy. Sorry, but thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
382-4280. We'll see now if Vivian knows what movie we're talking about. Viv, how you doing?
Doing fine, thank you. How about Yellow Submarine?
And we have
a winner.
Yes, yes. We all live in a yellow submarine. Yes. And for getting that
not
right.
Not that I'm that old, Doc, mind you. But,
No.
No.
We understand this is all theoretical knowledge.
I go along with Roger on this. I heard him talking earlier about age, and since I'm older than him, I will take his word for it.
Okay. You're the winner. You can come by our studios any day from 8:30 to 4:30. We're on West Main at the corner of Northampton, and we're easy to pick out. We've got the big tower with all sorts of stuff.
I know exactly where you are. Two of my youngest great-grandchildren live across the street from you, so I go by you quite often.
I'll bet you do. Well, one of those trips, stop by and pick up your tickets to the movie.
Which theater is this?
Oh, this is at Celebration Cinema. Out adjacent to Crossroads Mall out in Portage. I don't know which theater it is in. This is not an IMAX movie, so it'll be in one of the other theaters there.
Well, I thank you very much.
Oh, you bet. Have a good afternoon.
Well, thank you. You too.
590 WKZO time is 428, the 590 WKZO weather forecast for this afternoon. Sun and patchy clouds. We've had quite a bit of the sun part of that equation. And we're starting to cool off. We're down to 37 already. And that's going to continue through the evening. Clear, windy, and cold. And a low of 28. Still chilly tomorrow and Friday with times of clouds and sun. A high tomorrow, 44, and a high on Friday, 48. But Bob has promised us much warmer temperatures over the weekend. Mid-50s on Saturday and near 60 on Sunday. But snow in the forecast. Rain Monday or Sunday afternoon, and that rain will be heavy at times Sunday evening. And then the high on Monday will be right after midnight. And all day Monday, we're going to see temperatures drop. And this storm isn't going to dump the lake effect snow just on the south end of the lake. We're going to see snow in our part of the world. It's going to be lake effect, so we won't know until Monday exactly where that lake effect snow is going to fall. You can count on some snow next week. This morning I was looking at weather, and they've already identified the pool of cool air up over the Yukon that will head in our direction. But before we get to that cold weather, a warm-up for the weekend, and that'll be good as we watch Western take on Central at 1 o'clock Friday afternoon at Waldo Stadium. And you'll hear that live on 96.5 WZOS. Roger and Tim taking you home, taking a look at the weather, which is brought to you by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. Sun and patchy clouds this afternoon. Temperatures approaching 40, but the real feel AccuWeather temperature is mainly in the 20s. Clear, windy, and cold tonight, 28 the low. Chilly tomorrow and Friday. Times of clouds and sun both days. 44 the high tomorrow, 48 the high on Friday. And we're going to give away a couple more tickets. Tim, by the way, said that he was 4 months old when Yellow Submarine was released.
But the Beatles still are one of my favorite bands,
though. And I was in college at that time. And, yes, I liked the Beatles, although I have switched to electronic music. I don't have CDs and stuff anymore. And the Beatles are the only group that have not licensed their music to Spotify or anybody. So It's been a while since I've listened to Beatles. But if you'd like to see the movie that premieres tomorrow, The Best Man, The Best Man Holiday, I should say. Give Tim a call, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. And caller number 7 gets the free tickets to the Best Man Holiday at Celebration Cinema adjacent to Crossroads Mall. Joining me now is Meredith Quinlan. She's from Michigan United, and we're going to talk about why it's so hard to get the minimum wage increased. Meredith, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Roger.
Since the majority of Americans, and I mean the majority of all Americans, in a poll I saw last evening, even 58% of Republicans think we need to raise the minimum wage. Why is it a problem then? If even the Republicans think we should do a minimum wage increase, we haven't done one since 2007, what's the holdup?
Well, unfortunately, even though those who identify as Republican are supporting an increase, It doesn't seem to be that those are the Republicans who are currently in the Michigan legislature, because at this point, no one in the Michigan legislature that is a Republican has come out in support of raising Michigan's minimum wage.
Not one?
No.
How much of a minimum wage increase is being discussed?
Well, there have been bills introduced in both the Michigan Senate and the Michigan House. In the Michigan House, both bills are discussing raising the minimum wage up to $10 an hour by 2016. And in the House, that's Bill 4554, and it includes this increase being incremental over the next couple of years to get up to $10 an hour. And it also includes language to index the minimum wage with inflation. So in the future, we won't have to keep having this discussion. It will automatically increase at the same rate as inflation does. And it also includes a raise for tipped workers, like restaurant workers.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't seen a raise in decades, and their pay is currently at $2.65 an hour.
A full-time minimum wage worker earns just $14,500 a year. And for someone who has two kids, that means their living is $3,000 below the poverty line. Now, conservatives think we need to cut back on some of the safety net programs. Wouldn't a way to reduce the use of safety net programs to pay people a wage that would take them out of poverty if they're working full time?
Yes, it would be. And that's something that we're hearing a lot of people discuss is, okay, so if we have people in our legislature who would like to cut back on public assistance, for that to happen, we have to make sure that a full-time, year-long employee is able to get above the poverty threshold, and right now that just isn't possible. We have people who are working full-time, who've done everything right, and who are working hard, and yet they can't, right now in Michigan, if they're being paid minimum wage, they can't make enough to get their family out of poverty. And so you're right, that's what a lot of people are saying, is that for us to simultaneously have conversations around cutting public assistance but not doing anything about raising minimum wage is really unfair when we have so many people who are working hard and they still can't make ends meet.
Yeah, and there's another aspect to this that I find frustrating, in that we hear conservatives talking about people not paying their own way, that they're freeloaders. Well, we have some sizable corporations in this country that are freeloading. They are telling people to, look, your wages that we're going to pay you are not enough to survive on. And so as a part of their employee orientation, they're led to the SNAP program. And I would like to see us put an end to these freeloading corporations who are not paying their staff a living wage. And they're just depending on a government handout to support their business model.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel very similarly, and it's been one of the most interesting arguments that's really come out around raising minimum wage has been this one about corporations and people, you know, sort of countering the arguments of those saying, you know, I don't want my taxpayers going to freeloaders. And now we have this argument coming out saying, well, I don't want my tax dollars going to these freeloading corporations who aren't paying people enough so that they then have to sign up for public assistance because they don't have enough money for rent. They don't have enough money for food. And so it is a really interesting argument that has really been becoming more popular recently around how, you know, how do we address this where it is these large corporations that are employing people at poverty wages so that they then have to be on public assistance to make ends meet.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any idea when there will be movement in the Michigan legislature on this bill? But with no Republican support, and since they control the governor and both houses of the legislature and the courts, that's a difficult question, but do you have any feel for when supporters in Lansing are going to try to move forward with this bill?
Yeah, so right now, you know, the analysis of it is, like you said, this bill, you know, unless we start getting some Republican support for it, it's not going to move. And also, we had an event a couple weeks ago when Governor Snyder was in town, and he was interviewed by Channel 3, and he said, you know, I don't know if I support this or not. I have to look into it more. So we're also hoping to hear from our governor whether or not he supports this, which we think would be a very important thing for him to come out and support, saying a raise is important for Michigan's economy and Michigan's workers. But the way we're looking at it is, you know, if we can't get this through the legislature, you know, we are exploring, you know, does that mean that we would want to take this to the ballot and have it as a ballot initiative? Or what else can we do when we know overwhelmingly, like you said in that poll that was recently conducted, people in Michigan, people in America support raising minimum wage. And if our legislature isn't going to act on that, you know, is it going to have to be something where it then is up to the voters to pass this unnecessary legislation and have it on the ballot?
Well, look at New Jersey. Last week, reelecting Chris Christie, and in the same ballot, overruling Chris Christie and passing the minimum wage increase that he vetoed. And there's showing support amongst even conservatives that they think there needs to be an increase in the minimum wage. And they disagreed with the governor they reelected, going ahead and reelecting him, but at the same time overruling him on the minimum wage. When you talk to Republicans in the Michigan legislature, what reasons for being opposed to a minimum wage increase are you hearing?
We've heard a couple of different things. One is some don't feel like this is the best way to reduce poverty. And so, you know, it's just ideological differences. And frequently we'll try to show how this is good for Michigan's economy. It's been estimated that it would actually create around 4,600 full-time jobs and boost our economic activity by putting more money in the pockets of those who need it most and spur consumer spending. But that is one argument we've heard. And then we've also heard arguments having to do more with process, things along the lines of, well, this bill will never get out of committee. It's a Republican-controlled committee, and there isn't a single Republican co-sponsoring it. So it's very unlikely, given the political process, that this will ever come to the floor. And some others have said, well, you know, I don't want to take a stance on this bill because it's likely that the language will be changed. And so, you know, some have dodged the question of voicing whether or not they support a raise by getting into the technicalities of the bill language and saying that likely it will be changed anyway, so they don't they don't see a reason to come out with their stance on it.
Yeah. Well, part of the reason I think they're being vague in their reasons for not supporting it is they're realizing that two-thirds of Republicans support it, and they don't want to come out with a firm reason why they think they should overrule a two-thirds majority even in their own party.
Yep, I think you're right. And, you know, it's this question where, as you're saying, if even their base supports it, what's going on here? And we see this as part of the anti-worker, working family policies and stances that we've seen coming out of Lansing. This bill was actually introduced just a couple of months after Right to Work passed in Michigan, because many people who support working families and support workers in Michigan were saying, this is outrageous. We need to be doing something to support these families. And so they came up with trying to push for an increase of minimum wage. So you're right. We're seeing, you know, it's widely supported across Michigan. It's even supported by the conservative base. However, those who are in elected office continue to dodge it or, won't put in any effort to make sure that this reaches the floor.
Yeah. Well, and to me, it also just smacks of partisan politics, because at the federal level, back in March when we voted on a federal minimum wage increase, 67 Republicans voted against it, who voted for it when the minimum wage was increased back under George Bush. And so these same individuals voted for an increase back in 2007, but now find it objectionable. We've been talking. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just saying I absolutely agree with that. This is a raising minimum wage has happened under many different administrations when Republicans and Democrats have been in power. And right now, we definitely need a raise, and it is very, it's down partisan lines about who supports it and who doesn't.
Yeah. We've been talking with Meredith Quinlan from Michigan United. Meredith, if people want to learn more about this issue and learn more about the other issues that Michigan United is concerned about, how might they do that?
Yeah, so actually we have an event coming up tomorrow night, and we have invited Yannette Lathrop from the Michigan League for Public Policy to come to Kalamazoo and to talk a bit about their most recent study, which shows the positive economic impact of raising minimum wage. It also goes into the history of minimum wage and how its value has eroded over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be happening tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in the evening on the campus of Kalamazoo College in the old Upton building right on Academy Street. And so we welcome anyone to come and attend that event tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. It should be packed with a lot of good information about this policy. And then we'll also have some different community leaders from Michigan United who will be speaking about ways that people can get involved. And then also visiting our website, miunited.org, there's information on there. And we're always welcoming people to get involved with this campaign. There's lots of different things that people can do, and we're really excited to welcome people in this area who feel passionately about economic justice and raising minimum wage.
Thanks, Meredith, and we'll see you tomorrow night at K College.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Roger, and thanks for inviting me to be on the show.
Have a good afternoon.
You too.
4:56 at 590 WKZO. We're going to have a local news update, and then we'll be back to say goodbye for the day. Tim, would you have just a few seconds with one pinky up? I'd like you to tell us who the winner was.
Oh, for the movie tickets? Yeah. It was Mike Kowinski.
Oh, congratulations, Mike. Have yourself a good evening, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.